The problem is that it minted too many Luna coins, and it became this self-perpetuating downward spiral. So I was exposed. By that point, I'd already sold some Luna. My Luna position was around $100,000 at the time. That went to zero in about 3 days.
Hello, fellow risk takers, and welcome to my worst investment ever. Stories of loss to keep you winning. In our community, we know that to win in investing, you must take risks, but to win big, you've got to reduce it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm on a mission to help 1 million people reduce risk in their lives. And I want to welcome and thank my listeners from New Zealand for listening today and joining in that mission. Fellow risk takers, this is your worst podcast host, Andrew Stotz from A Stotz Academy, and I'm here with featured guest, Lark Davis. Lark, are you ready to join the mission?
I'm ready. I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you. I mean, your topic that you're dealing with and all of that stuff is just fascinating. And watching you and the way you communicate and all of that, I think it's really exciting. So I'm happy to have you on. And let me just introduce you to the audience. Lark is the founder of weekly crypto newsletter, Wealth Mastery, which combines insider insights and in-depth market analysis to offer cryptocurrency investors the best opportunities to grow their wealth, stay ahead of the curve, and avoid costly mistakes. The newsletter has more than 100,000 subscribers and covers DeFi, NFTs, altcoins, technical analysis, and more. Lark has been a crypto investor for more than 7 years and has made millions of dollars while also suffering significant losses in the markets. He has been featured in leading digital currency media platforms, including Coinpedia and CoinDesk, providing insights that help audiences consistently make money from cryptocurrency investments. And you can find him on Twitter and YouTube. I'll have the links in the show notes to all of that. Woo! Lark, tell us about the unique value you are bringing to this wonderful world.
Absolutely. It's a great question to start off with, a very introspective one. When it comes to what I do professionally, it's really about teaching people to fish. It's really financially, investment-wise. And my focus is, of course, on cryptocurrencies. From time to time, we talk about other stuff, but most of it's about cryptocurrencies. The cryptocurrency market is a very volatile place, a very wild place, full of all kinds of misbehavior. Pretty nuts. And so what I hope to do with the content that I create, whether it be on YouTube or X or the newsletter or anywhere else, is to help educate people on making good decisions for themselves, to not get too lost in the hype, lost in the FOMO, and to educate themselves, because this is a completely new class of asset. And the learning curve is incredibly big. Incredibly big. You have to learn about all these things, days and days and weeks knowledge. So I try to distill down simple ideas for people that they can understand and explain how the market cycles work, how to approach risk in the market, how to stay safe in the market, all these sorts of things. So that's, I hope, the value that I'm bringing to investors who listen to the things that I have to say and my opinions on stuff.
That's interesting. And it made me think about, like, how do you prevent yourself by being caught up in the excitement? Because if you just are on the roller coaster ride, just like all of the, you know, newsletters and clients and others that you're talking to, you know, are you really adding that much value? How do you separate yourself from that roller coaster ride, occasionally getting on it, of course, but how do you do that?
It's hard, because even the best investors in the world can get caught up in the hype, the FOMO, the euphoria. You just have to keep reminding yourself of some simple realities, is that this is a volatile market. Most of the things that you invest in will not make it with from a few years from now. If you look at the startup space, they have 90% failure rates. No different in cryptocurrencies, except that the barrier to launching is so much lower. The barrier to raising money is so much lower. So you have all these ideas being explored, fascinating ideas, interesting ideas, groundbreaking ideas. 9 out of 10 of them are going to fail. And 9 out of 10 of the ones that don't fail, probably not going to do super awesome. They'll just limp by for years. So you're looking for needles in haystacks, but in a cryptocurrency bull market, none of that stuff matters so much, because everything is kind of going up at the same time. The whole market largely moves together up and largely moves together down. There's no major outliers when the market's pumping, when the markets are dumping. Unlike in the stock market, where you might have tech stocks selling off and, you know, gold miners are pumping, for example, or telecoms are doing really well, whatever it might be. there tends to not be a separation in crypto. It's a very small market, $2 trillion market cap around the time that we're recording this video. It's a baby. It's a baby. It's smaller than Microsoft. It's smaller than Google. It's smaller than Amazon. Pretty sure they're all over $2 trillion right now, smaller than Apple, right? So in order to not get totally lost in the mania, you just have to keep reminding yourself of how the market cycles work, that there will be a major sell-off at some point. Crypto's very well followed this sort of wider global liquidity cycle, four-year pattern, which is largely lined up with four-year Bitcoin patterns. And we always seem to have some new catalyst that sparks the market, gets people really, really excited. But even though every time is different, every time ends up being approximately the same. So look, I've been caught up in the hype before without a doubt and convinced myself of things that didn't end up happening. But I was also quite diligent, even those situations, say, okay, I got to keep taking money off the table, keeping take money off the table because it could all end at any time. Even though I think, hey, maybe we're going to go up further, it could still end at any time because this is a crazy market. You never know what's going to happen in crypto and everything can change on a dime. And tomorrow morning, you might be in a very different situation financially. And I've had that lesson smacked in my face quite a few times in crypto. So one thing that I like to tell people these days is about regret theory. So when you're looking at that portfolio, things are getting really crazy in the market and you have life-changing money on the table and the chance to change your life if you click the sell button. You have to ask yourself the question, what am I going to regret more? Am I going to regret more if I don't take any money off the table today and then tomorrow my investments are up another 20, 30%? Or what if tomorrow they're down 20, 30%? What if in 6 months' time, everything that I'm holding is down 99% or 95%? Or maybe you did really, really well and you got the really good coins, you're only down 75 or 80%. Because that's what happens in the cryptocurrency markets. So you have to ask yourself what you're going to regret more in the future, that you missed out on a little bit of extra profit or that you took a massive loss and didn't change your life when you had life-changing money sitting in front of you. Because so many people make that mistake. So many people have made the mistake. I made that mistake my first cycle. Second cycle, I didn't make that mistake. Could have taken more off the table, should have taken more off the table. And a lot of people will just round trip their bags every single time. And a lot of people come in at the exact wrong time in the market, which makes it even harder for them. They come in and buy the top. Mm-hmm. 7 out of 10 people in the cryptocurrency market will come in to buy the top, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a lot of things you just said there, but you just reminded me of Kahneman's prospect theory, I believe it is, where the pain of loss is 2.5 times the pleasure of gain. And so, you know, but I was also thinking about, imagine that, you know, you could be in a situation where you have $5 million, but you sold out and you could have had 50 million, or you have zero and you could have had 5 million. Which one do you want? And I would prefer to have the 5 million.
If you ask a lot of people would probably prefer to have that 5 million. And one thing that people make a mistake on, I just want to make a quick note, is that they think they have to sell everything or nothing. And if you have $5 million on the table, you can take $1 million off the table. You can. And if you have the balls to let the other $4 million run, then guess what? And it goes up to $40 million. You still did okay, didn't you? You only missed out on $9 million, but you made sure you made money.
It's a great point because I use stop losses for stocks. And what I tell people when they say, I don't want to do that because, you know, I'm going to get out of my position when the market's going down and I'm saying, okay, then just do a 20% stop loss. Force yourself to sell a little bit. You know, you got to get comfortable with that at times. And so that's an idea that you've just mentioned. One of the things you compared the cryptocurrency market or the crypto market to startups and that many fail. Now, when people ask me about, people come to me as an analyst and all that and say, hey, I got this startup and I think about investing in this. What do you think about the business prospects for this? And I say, well, my advice is very generic for startups, and that is only buy 10. And they say, well, wait a minute, I only have this one in front of me right now. And I just want to get your opinion on this one. And my point is only buy 10. In other words, you just don't know. So buy 10. And he said, well, most people will say, I can't buy 10. Well, okay, that's part of the problem with angel investing in startup. Mm-hmm. You don't have that problem in crypto because, you know, there's the liquidity's there. There's enough of an environment. You could say I'll buy the 10 largest market cap ones or whatever that is. What is your advice for the absolute beginner? You know, someone that's come into your community, they're following, they're interested, they're learning, and they're definitely interested. And now it's time for them to take some action. what would you say is for that beginner that really would help them to reduce risk?
One of the big things is position sizing. And when we talk about cryptocurrencies, we have a wide mix of investors. Some people who are coming from the traditional markets who are just adding a bit of crypto as diversification. They don't have a lot of time on their hands. So for those guys, well, you've got a Bitcoin ETF now. Congratulations. It's a super easy way to get exposure to the crypto space. Totally just switch your brain off and just buy Bitcoin ETFs, hold them long term. You don't really need to think about somebody else handling custody for you, all that kind of stuff. So it makes it really, really easy. If you want to get a bit deeper into the crypto space, look at Ethereum. Bitcoin and Ethereum together, they're 70% of the cryptocurrency market cap. Owning those two coins, if you're a very casual investor, you're the kind of guy who's just putting 1, 2, 3% into the coins, that's probably going to be okay, especially at this relative stage in the cycle. Obviously, if everything's up in, you know, Bitcoin's $250,000 or something, your risk reward's very, very much diminished at that point for this cycle. Now, if you are going deeper, if you're the person who you've got very little, you've got $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 portfolio, and you want to make it, you want to go all in on crypto and you want to make it big time, you have to stop, slow down, and relax, because the mistake that a lot of people are going to make, they're going to come in, they're going to buy 100 different coins. As you can, it's really easy to do. And you're going to lose track of all of them. You will get very, very little. Your over-diversification will kill you. You don't need that many coins. 10's a great number. You can make great money on 10 coins. Take your time, research, and adjust according to risk. And this is a mistake I see people make a lot of the time. I actually just had a message from some guy today. He said, 80% of my portfolio is the Shiba Inu meme coin. And I just, what is going on here? This is how people approach risk. And it's all jumbled up. Look, if you have a $10,000 portfolio, now look, if you want to take high risks, you can take more calculated risks, obviously. But generally, when you approach risk in the cryptocurrency space, you want to have bigger coins, be more risk, or be more size your portfolio because they're lower risk. Those smaller coins, that $10 million market cap coin that just came to the market and doesn't have a mainnet yet, doesn't have a working product yet, that's 1% of your crypto portfolio, not your overall investment portfolio or crypto portfolio. Because if it goes to zero, you only lost 1%. If it goes up 10x, great, you made good money on it. And I know you're always going to think, oh, but if I'd only gone all in on that coin, yeah, but the day you go all in on that coin is the day that it goes to zero. So you have to be really careful. And this is one of the easiest way to think for just the layman getting into this market to approach risk. Higher coins, quote unquote, lower risk. Obviously, they still go down in the big market cycle. Lower coins, big risk, much smaller percentages of your portfolio.
Okay, so that's a great primer. And the idea is if you really just don't have time, but you think, I could add a small amount to my overall portfolio of crypto, then go for an ETF that will give you Bitcoin exposure. Things move, as you say, that the asset class of crypto is highly correlated. It's all moving in the same way. So there, you're just playing this long-term, let's say, uptrend. Then if you say that you're going to invest in individual crypto, it sounds like what you're describing is kind of a market cap weighting style where you say, okay, the total crypto market, you go to CoinDesk or wherever, you know, your data, and then you basically look at the market cap of all of these. You're going to find that Bitcoin is at the top at, you know, whatever, 50, 60, 70%, Ethereum's at 20, 30%, and then maybe there's 3 to 5 or 10 more. And then basically you could buy those in the proportion of their market cap. And then what you could do on, and this is what I do for my strategies, is every 3 months, I just reset that market cap and say, okay, now I want to allocate in this, you know, in this weighting based upon their movements. And then what I do is I trim the positions of the ones that have grown, and then I get into the ones that have come down. It's not perfect, but it gives me a systematic way of doing it in relation to stocks. Does that make sense, or what are your thoughts on that?
Rebalancing, I think, is really important. I see, again, people will get into some meme coin. And I know meme coins are like, from the outside, is like, that's completely ridiculous. Why are people investing in this cryptocurrency whose only value proposition has got a dog picture on it? But it's, if you think of it as investing in internet culture, then it kind of makes a bit more sense. But you'll see people who invest in it, and they manage risk initially. They say, okay, I'm with 1% of my coin portfolio in there, fine. Then it pumps. Then it's worth 25 or 30% of your coin portfolio, but they fail to rebalance because style position's too big. You have too much stress related around it. It keeps you up at night. The number's too big. Maybe you've never seen that kind of money before, that quickly, especially. So rebalancing as that's going up, can help you manage that risk. It doesn't, you never wanted it to be 25% of your portfolio. So don't let it be 25% of your portfolio. Rebalance down, take some of that money out of that really, really high risk coin that could go to zero tomorrow. Move it back up, put it in a Bitcoin, put it in Ethereum, or take it straight out of the market, put it in some stocks, some gold, whatever it might be. It's a nice way to do it. Take that high risk money and turn it into low risk money.
So lots of good principles there. The first one that you mentioned is that take money off the table when you've made some gains. And I think in particular with the crypto space, that's not a bad idea. And as you said, you can put it in gold and you can wait. You know, some of the best investors just sit and wait for something to come down again, and then they get back in. So that's one you've talked about. Don't have to force yourself to take, you know, everything off the table, take a portion of it off the table. And that's talking about at the overall portfolio level, based upon what's happening in the market with prices. And then at the portfolio level, you've talked about the rebalancing and diversification of the strategy that you've got to not just put it all down on one, even though there's a temptation. You know, there's 60,000 companies that are listed in the stock market. There's 10,000 companies that are in the VT ETF run by Vanguard, which I would consider 10,000 of the most large and liquid companies out there that you could invest in. Some of, you know, every single quarter, one of them's going to be up 1,000%, you know, and that doesn't mean that you just put all your money into that one. And I think crypto has the same, you know, thing. Can you just tell us, what do people get when they sign up to your newsletter? What should they expect from that?
Yeah, so we're covering all the news basically happening in the crypto space every week, the market moving news, you know, what's going on in the regulatory scene, what's going on with corporate news, the bigger chain picture on chain, what money's moving around, who's buying what, sort of stuff like that. We look at the latest happening for altcoins. So the real alpha, right? The stuff that's going to move the markets. You know, this has got a major upgrade coming. They're changing their tokenomics, things like this. We talk about airdrops, which has been a very big money-making space for people. Basically, airdrops, by the way, there's a lot of mystery around this, but a very simple explanation for it is you're testing software and you might get paid for it when the reward of tokens in the future. So we cover those kind of opportunities. We cover technical analysis on the market. So it's a real full package of what's going on in crypto for crypto investors.
Fantastic. So I'll have links in the show notes to your Twitter, your YouTube channel, and also to the newsletter. So that's thewealthmastery.io. Okay. Well, now it's time to share your worst investment ever. And since no one goes into their worst investment thinking it will be, tell us about the circumstances leading up to it and then tell us your story.
You know, when I was thinking about how to answer this, there's been so many. Well, should I choose one of the NFTs? Should I choose one of the altcoins? Whatever it might be. But actually, I decided to finalize on the Terra Luna cryptocurrency, which had a pretty famous implosion. Now, I got into that one around a few dollars, and big bag, went up to being worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. But to compound my eventual misery, they also had a stable coin, which is supposed to be stable and worth a dollar, linked to that cryptocurrency. And there was this push-pull mechanism, essentially, is that the more stable coins were minted, the more of the Luna token that was taken off the market, price went up. The reverse eventually, of course, applied as well. But it was the big hyped coin. Everybody was talking about it. Everybody's excited about it. Big venture capital firms were in it. And it was doing a lot of exciting things. A lot of exciting protocols started to be built on there. You know, the founder at the time, he was the poster child on social media for a successful founder of a big cryptocurrency and stuff like this. And it all came, of course, tumbling down eventually. But it's funny because shortly before I invested, my research assistant guy who does the deep dives for the Wealth Mastery reports, he did a report on it. He's like, I don't know, smells fishy. Don't like it. Nah, it's gonna be fine. All the Mike Novogratz is in it. We're gonna go to the moon on this one. And we did. Everybody's excited about it because the mechanics in a bull market worked really, really well because people kept minting the stable coins because they wanted to use the applications on the blockchain. Price of the main asset kept going up until it didn't.
And let me just explain. Let me ask you to explain. The stable coins were backed by U.S. Treasury bonds. I can't remember what.
No. There
was it. What was the backing?
So the backing was the Luna coin.
Okay.
So this is the thing, is that you were able to redeem $1 of the stablecoin for $1 of Luna coin. If you took $5 of Luna coin, you could mint 5 stablecoin dollars. And so people were doing that, minting more stablecoins to take the stablecoins and use them on chain in different applications, particularly this one application called Anchor, which they had huge incentives running for, you know, like 20% APY on it, because they were putting, the company was putting all these extra incentives on top to get people to keep bringing the money on chain.
And what was it that convinced people at the time that it wouldn't break that stable? Like, what was it that, was it just that it was a controlled amount of stable coins and it couldn't be that somebody's going to issue more stable coins and therefore it's going to remain stable one-to-one?
Yeah. So it, basically the mechanism, I think it had the potential to work. The problem is too much exited too fast and it became completely unsustainable almost instantaneously. And, you know, I should have thought about it more, should have seen it more, should have realized the same mechanism that made it go up would make it go down, and make it go down in a very dramatic, building on fire kind of fashion. And the redeeming feature worked. The problem is that it minted too many Luna coins and it became this self-perpetuating downward spiral. So I was exposed by that point. I'd already sold some Luna. My Luna position was around $100,000 at the time. That went to zero in about 3 days. And I had about $700,000 of stable coins in UST, but also complicated with some of it was in a half UST, half USDT pool. The pool got raided and was left with only UST stable coins. So then I had more exposure than I thought I was going to actually end up having to this particular stable coin. And then that stable coin depegged. So day one depegged from $1 down to 98 cents. And I thought, oh, I need to do something about that tomorrow. I'm going to do something about tomorrow when I wake up. Tomorrow I woke up and then it was down to, I think, about 60 cents. So that was very problematic. I said, okay, hold on. This is going to have at least one bounce. And so I held and it went down even more. And then it did have a bounce. It got back to about 83, 84 cents. I think I got out around 82, 83 cents. So I took about a 20% loss on that 700K, plus the Luna coins went to zero, essentially. Now I got approximately my initial, I think I sold my Luna coins around $5 or $6. So I didn't ride them all the way to zero, but I completely erased any profits that I'd had on the Luna coins. So that profit went to zero, but I basically got my initial capital back out from that because my average entry price over time was around $5 or $6. So
by the way, what year was that? When was that happening?
This was in 2022.
Okay.
So,
and I'm just curious, you know, given that you are an expert, you know, and I remember my worst investment ever was basically investing in a startup, and I'm an expert and I lost a lot of money in it. And I felt pretty ashamed. I didn't talk about it at the time because I just felt like I should have known better. Eventually, I came to terms with it and I learned from it. And part of what I do with this podcast is share to help people. But I'm just curious, like, how did you feel once it kind of all wrapped up and you thought, oh, gosh, how did you feel about yourself? Or how did you think about things at that time?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I look at the two things differently. The Luna, because I've seen so many altcoins go to zero, essentially, the Luna was no big surprise. It was annoying and stressful when it was happening. And I, like I said, I kind of had a mental stop loss that, okay, if it gets down here, I'm out. And I got out and that was okay. That didn't bother me too much, even though it was a huge paper loss, essentially lost $90,000 or something of potential profits in 2 days, crypto. The stablecoin one, that was what really stressed me out because in my mind, I had put money that I had gained as profits from the 2021 cycle somewhere that was going to be safe in crypto. And so when I woke up and I saw that down 40%, I started stressing out like, holy crap, I've made a huge mistake. You know, even though I understood the mechanics, I never thought that it would go this fast. I never thought that this would be the actual implication of this sort of market-wide panic around this coin and everybody rushing to the exit at the exact same time. I just figured, well, if it's going to go down, then we're just going to see coins exit the market. It'll be some kind of orderly. No, no, there is no order. It was complete disorder, complete chaos, a complete meltdown of an entire cryptocurrency ecosystem worth tens of billions of dollars in the space of 72 hours. It was quite dramatic, actually. And the reflection on that was really just taking too much risk with money that shouldn't have been risk money. You know, and again, in my mind, I was putting it somewhere relatively okay, but obviously it did not turn out to be that way. So it made me reflect a lot on the risks that I actually take when I'm messing around on all these on-chain applications. And it also really drove home a lesson about money needs to not stay. Profits from the market need to not stay in the market. You get them out, you put them in your bank, because keeping your money in different stable coins is problematic for a variety of reasons. We even saw later on an unrelated issue, but we even saw the USDC stablecoin depeg almost 10% around the collapse of, I think it was the Silvergate Bank. If I remember, one of those big banks that collapsed, they had a lot, they had 10% of the treasury there. And so then again, it's this, the specter comes back, you know, 6-8 months later. Oh my gosh, it's happening again. The stablecoin's debagging. I had a lot of money sitting in the USDC stablecoins. I'd taken a lot of money out of the off-chain at that point, but still I had, you know, hundreds of thousands on-chain. And here it was. Now it's debagging. Holy crap. That was a different situation because the mechanics were different. This was actually backed one-to-one by US Treasuries. The only difference was that 10% of those treasuries were now in a bank that was going bankrupt. Fed stepped in, backstopped everything. It was fine, but it really drove home a very important lesson about how I approach risk on chain. So, yeah.
So let's, why don't we just take a moment and just try to summarize. You've already explained your lessons, but I'd love it if you could just summarize 1, 2, 3, the lessons that you learned.
Absolutely. 1, never put your profits into something that could go down. That was the UST stablecoin. Even other on-chain stablecoins. So be careful. Take your money, take your profits, put it in your bank, run away. That's one thing from crypto. The other is make sure you fully understand all aspects of exposure to risk, because one of the things that caught me by surprise was how quickly everything fell to pieces and how quickly that particular pool that I was in that had half of the UST stablecoin, half of the USDT stablecoin got raided overnight. We saw hundreds of millions of dollars exit from the safer stablecoin, leaving only the failing stablecoin behind, which I had massive exposure to. So fully understand all vectors of potential risk on chain, because there's a lot. Again, the learning curve is massive in crypto. And even after years in the industry, I still get surprised by how I can get screwed.
So maybe I'll just say a few things that I take away. I mean, you said something that I thought that was really interesting, and that was the idea of your safe place for your money should not go down. And, you know, it's, think about it for the listeners and the viewers out there. Think about your literal safe place in your life. Is it your bedroom? Is it your house? Is it your sofa? Is it your office? Where is that place that you feel most safe in your life? And what is it that makes it safe is that the environment doesn't change. It delivers, you know, exactly what you expect. And now take that and apply that into how you manage risk. And that is, when you have profit and you have wealth that you've generated, put it in a safe place that doesn't go down. And that, I think, is interesting. And, you know, that could be land for some people. That could be a bank account, you know, and just deposits at banks. Some people, they may say, well, mine is gold. Yep, gold can still go down for sure. But, you know, it has some features. But the main thing, I think, is this idea of segmenting your money that you're investing and speculating on at times from the safe. And I think that is super, super important lesson that you've described. The second one is Thailand is an interesting place, Lark. When I first moved here, I got a motorcycle. So this was 1992. I had already been driving motorcycles in Thailand, or sorry, in the US. But when I came to Thailand, it just takes it to a whole nother level. And the big thing I always say to people who get motorcycles here, they say, you know that like the left or right-hand turning lane that crosses in front of you, you know, that crosses traffic. You know, normally when you're driving maybe at home, that person sitting in the car across from you is not going to pull in front of you as you're going through that intersection. But in Thailand, you can just expect that they're going to turn in front of you. And it's because of, you know, might makes right and some other things like that. But the point is that when it comes to human behavior, always expect herd mentality. It is going to always be the case. And if you're sitting on a boat and everybody starts to run to one side of a boat, you know, the first thing you got to realize is, yes, they will capsize that boat. Anything you would add to those two?
That's a great, great thought there about herd mentality, because it's very, very true. When panic starts, panic moves very, very fast.
Yep.
And when it comes to people's money, they panic even faster. And there's, I guess, the saying is, he who panics first panics best. In crypto anyway.
Yes. So based on what you learned from this story and what you continue to learn, now let's think about a beginner getting in the market, making similar types of investments. What's one action that you'd recommend that they should take to avoid suffering the same fate?
Go slow on chain. And if you're going to go out and start farming airdrops, if you're going to go out and start playing around with decentralized finance applications, do not put 100% of your money in there. Don't put 50% of your money. Don't even put 5% of your money in there. Start very slow. A lot of people always make this mistake. I've got to put all my money onto this thing. Literally take $20. Play around. See how it works. You're not missing out on anything. There's always going to be something new happening tomorrow in these markets. Take $20. Play. Figure out how things work. See the mechanics. Understand the mechanics. Because things aren't always advertised either. You're assumed that you have to go and read these giant 30-page technical papers and stuff like this and find some hidden page somewhere where it explains that actually there's a 28-day withdrawal wait time, for example, and other things. So you have to be really careful about these particular issues and how things operate on chain. So go slow, test the waters. You often have to do it with real money, but you don't have to do it with your life savings. Start small.
That's great advice. I like to say to people, start minimum. So when I started my niece's investing in the stock market, I set up a Vanguard account in their case in the US, since that's where they are. And I helped them. And I basically said, we're going to start with 3,000 because that's the minimum to set up an account. Mm-hmm. So figure out, start small, start with a minimum and learn before you allocate more. All right. What's a resource that you'd recommend? Obviously, one of them is your newsletter.
Yeah, obviously, the newsletter, we try to keep people up to date on the latest things happening in the market. Aside from that, I would say you're just spoiled for choice when it comes to the cryptocurrency market. Any major exchange, how about this? Any major exchange like Binance, for example, they've got so many free resources about all kinds of things. They have reports on coins and how coin mechanics work and all these sorts of things. So it's actually a pretty great educational resource, these exchanges. And I think a lot of people don't even know those resources exist. So if you're looking for how trading indicators work or on-chain things, whether it be how Bitcoin mining works, what a smart contract is, and all this sorts of stuff, you can find that on your local exchange. Most of the time, the big ones have great educational resources.
That's a great piece of advice because, you know, they have an interest in educating, and without the bias that you may get if you go to get educated, maybe from someone else. All right. Last question. What is your number one goal for the next 12 months?
Number one goal for the next 12 months is to 10x my crypto portfolio in this bull market. So that would be great. I don't know if we're going to hit that total goal or not, but to get halfway there, I'll be pretty happy. But I think we're at a very incredible time right now in the cryptocurrency markets that have a huge potential for this market cycle. Hopefully, a lot of the charts we're looking at are showing that this is the start of a new major cycle, but I can always be wrong and lose all my money because that's crypto.
10x. All right.
10x, hopefully.
There it is. Listeners, there you have it. Another story of loss to keep you winning. Remember, I'm on a mission to help 1 million people reduce risk in their lives. As we conclude, Lark, I want to thank you again for joining our mission. And on behalf of A-Stats Academy, I hereby award you alumni status for turning your worst investment ever into your best teaching moment. Do you have any parting words for the audience?
I would say with crypto, remember to take your profits or the market will take them for you.
And that's a wrap on another great story to help us create, grow, and protect our wealth. Fellow risk takers, let's celebrate that today we added one more person to our mission to help 1 million people reduce risk in their lives. This is your worst podcast host, Andrew Stott, saying, I'll see you on the upside.